Grant Napier, Doug Christina, good afternoon.
To say the least.
Yes, indeed. And must be nice to be a quarterback in the NFL these days. You know what this reminds me of?
What's that?
It reminds me of the deal that Mike Conley got with Memphis last year, who is not a first, second, or third All-NBA selection, but he was a free agent at the right time. He's very good. I don't think he's great, but he's very good.
Yep.
And he was in the right place at the right time. And thus, a year ago, he became the highest paid player in the NBA. Now, since then, he's been surpassed as the highest paid player in the NBA. But that's what this signing of the Lions to Matthew Stafford, that's the analogy I make to it.
So in your mind, he's not that elite quarterback that, I mean, his resume doesn't speak to 150 plus million, whatever it is, guaranteed.
No, but is he a top 10 quarterback out of 32? Yeah, I think he is. And so, you know, I know one thing. If you're like Aaron Rodgers, you're kind of going, oh, wow, hello. You know what I mean?
Yes. Go knock on the GM's door and, you know, we need to have lunch. We need to have a conversation. Do you think this is a sign, Grant, of where NFL salaries may be going, or is he in the right place, like you mentioned, Conley, at the right time?
It's the quarterback position. That's okay. What it is. And the premium on quarterbacks and the fact that, you know, most would agree that there aren't enough of good quarterbacks so that when you have a good one, you know, you better make sure that you keep them. It's going to be very interesting to see what kind of year. Let's say you look at Washington and Kirk Cousins.
Right.
He's gambling on the fact, and gambling is the wrong word because he's making a ton of money this year, but that he has a really good year and that next season, you know, his value will be similar to what we just saw from Matthew Stafford. Now, is Kirk Cousins a top 10 quarterback in the NFL? Not in my opinion, he's not.
So do you think, I'm asking this, do you think Kirk Cousins is better than Matthew Stafford?
I do not, no.
I don't either.
No.
So, but if you broke it down per year salary for the last 2 years, he's getting more money than Matthew Stafford.
Well, they had the same number of playoff wins, which is zero. No, I'm sorry, but I mean, you know, that's how I always judge. And again, that's my knock on Stafford. I want to see him play big in the biggest of games. That's when I want to see him excel.
He definitely, ever since he came out of college, Grant, was it Georgia? Georgia, I believe, has the arm talent. He has all the arm talent, but can he do it? First of all, you got to get to the playoffs, but can you do it on a big stage? I think maybe what spoke to this contract, and I'd like your opinion on this one, Grant, is the year he had without Megatron. Showing
yes,
that
he I thought can, he was better.
Yes, I did too. That he can throw the ball all around the field, all different throws, and led them respectably with most people probably thought they were going to have a big fall off and not as much without Megatron.
All right, so we've got a lot of NFL news, and we'll continue our trips around National Football League camps as the opener is coming up 2 weeks from Thursday. All right, one of my favorites, Paul Allen, the voice of the Vikings at 4. We will talk with Willie Colon, former NFL analyst for ESPN Radio at 4:30. Tim Brando, Fox Sports, to talk some college football at 5. Tom Thayer, former NFL lineman with the Bears, their radio analyst at 5:30. And we'll talk with the voice of the Lions, Dan Miller, at 6:15.
Covering the board, Grant Napier. I like it. Every inch. Every inch.
You like? You happy?
What? You know, I like to talk. Let's talk to the people and see what it is. Vikings, just NFL news, ended off. Bears, Lions.
Paul Allen is, I love Paul Allen. He's a very high energy, unbelievably positive, you know, homer as the voice of the Vikings. But he's also not afraid to rip his team to shreds, as he did when Brett Favre threw the interception in the NFC Championship game, which cost the Vikings a trip to the Super Bowl. He killed them on the air. So, I mean, Paul Allen is great. I have a lot of respect for Paul. But, boy, he's a high-energy guy, and you'll see when we have him on.
Can't wait. As you can see, I don't have a problem with energy myself.
No, got to have energy. You got to bring it. You got to bring it.
Did he? Was the call something like, you cannot make that throw cross-field in this particular time of the game?
Well, I bet you Chris will be able to bring it up in a minute or two.
Yeah.
And when he does, you can listen to
it. Okay, I'm with that.
You know?
Yes. Yeah, well, actually, it'll be interesting to talk to him about the Vikings. I mean, no Adrian Peterson anymore. You know, what do they see themselves doing? As last year, you get off to was it 5-0 or 6-0 start?
Yeah, they were 5-0, and they had a great offensive line, and then injury after injury. Here's Paul Allen on that call.
Damn!
Now, how about that, huh?
Oh, can't wait.
Is that
to
a classic or what?
Yeah, you keep that queued up there, Chris. Oh, boy. You know what the funny thing about that is, Grant? It looked like so he calls what he sees.
Right.
Then his partner chimes in.
Right.
But why his partner's chiming in, he's getting hot. He's just realizing this is a Super Bowl, baby. Oh, man, that's good stuff. Can't wait to talk to Paul Allen.
Is that beautiful or what?
Absolutely fantastic stuff.
All right, 339-1140, and 800-920-1140. The appeal for Ezekiel Elliott began today, and will go on into day two. So they will continue it tomorrow.
What does that tell you, if anything, Nate?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Just tells me they have a lot of stuff they need to go over.
Yeah. Do you anticipate this being drawn out for quite some time? Or because
it would not surprise me.
Ultimately, if this is still being drawn out and he has a 6-game suspension and the season starts, does the suspension start immediately or how does that work?
It would start on September 2nd, the week of the first game.
Okay. Regardless if this is
if the arbiter – he'll come out with his report, but then the suspension would begin September 2nd, week of the first game.
Okay. Well, yeah, I would anticipate this going for a little while. Once you have all these different sides, you have her side, his
yep.
side, all these different things, all that has to get laid out on the table. Then you got to make a decision after that.
Did you see who was carted off the field of practice today?
Oh, please. Again, Nate?
Sterling Shepard of the Giants.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. And Ben McAdoo told reporters that he appears that he avoided serious injury and just rolled his ankle. NFL Network's Kimberly Jones reported that he suffered a low ankle sprain. You know, have you ever had a high ankle sprain?
Yeah. I've
had okay, so
every
the
time.
Difference between a high ankle sprain and a low is night and day, right?
Oh, it absolutely is. I mean, I've had a high ankle sprain. It swells up immediately. Mine got the size of a softball right away. They tried to squeeze all the blood and swelling out of it because it heals faster. That's what I was told back in 1992. But yeah, just twisting your ankle, that's a low ankle sprain. That thing goes away relatively quickly.
Right.
You can deal with a little bit of pain. The high one, you sometimes you can't even walk on the thing, Nate.
For a long time.
Yes. So, in practice.
But, you know, the reason why I bring that up is we take calls from fans that want to see the NFL preseason abolished or, you know, cut down. And my point is, how often do we come into work and read about players that have been injured in practice? And a lot of times it has nothing to do with contact.
I really, it's part of the game. You know, guys are going to get hurt. The thing is, I don't even mind the practice part of it getting hurt because a lot of the stuff that I'm seeing when they go through practice, they're working on skills and different things. It's not full out contact. The problem is, Grant, is the preseason games. It's such a violent sport. At any time, someone can go down. You have to be careful. They have to find a way out because you want to know that your investment, for instance. We just talked about Matthew Stafford. Biggest deal, you put him out, he drops back, someone slips, and before you know it, he's getting crushed and carted off the floor, and there goes all your money and there goes your season.
339-1140 is the local number, and 339-1140, 800-920-1140. And again, it's hard to believe we got some really big college football games this weekend. You've got Alabama and Florida State that headline the games. And then on Thursday, you get underway with Kansas City at New England. And both those teams have already been hit hard with injuries. Julian Edelman for the Patriots, out for the year. And Spencer Ware, out for the year. And I would think that Edelman, obviously, that's a bigger injury for New England, in my opinion, than Ware is to Kansas City. But still, really unfortunate, to say the least.
Well, when you talk about Spencer Ware with Kansas City, I mean, these are two different players. But the thing is, he is a big piece of that KC offense. You know, the ability to run between tackles and get down the field. Then you got your scat backs behind him. And then you talk about Edelman, and that's an absolute security blanket. He's the biggest target for Tom Brady. So both of those, I would say, albeit a little different, probably about the same impact on both of those teams. Devastating.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. So you've got really, again, a situation where this weekend probably won't be an issue, because I can't imagine, you know, I just can't imagine any main guys playing on Thursday night. So for that reason, then you're probably going to be fine.
You would hope and you would think. I would say that it's going to be harder for Kansas City than it is for the Patriots, because there's the mentality of next man up. It's systematic approach. We've seen this type of thing happen. If you think about Tom Brady, with the exception of, you know, a serious, like Randy Moss, a serious threat, and maybe Gronk, he hasn't had that quote unquote, you know, number one receiver. He's done it with different guys, and they've been able to make it happen. So there will be some guys, I think, that step up and take that position when Edelman's out.
Something else I wanted to talk about today, and it drives me crazy, because I believe that when you get to the network level and announce network sports, you really need to earn that position. And I think ESPN is the worst at this, and I think it's disgraceful. And it shows me that ESPN doesn't give a damn about their audience. And I can give you example after example after example. I have been unbelievably critical over the last several years of Chris Berman and Trent Dilfer doing this second game of Monday Night Football for the opening weekend of the NFL season. It's a travesty. And I have said repeatedly over the years that I'll come in the next day and I'll say, hey, we're going to spend an hour listening to everyone complain about how awful the Monday Night Football telecast was with Chris Berman and Trent Dilfer. A couple of years ago, they had Mike and Mike from the morning show do it. Again, Mike Golic qualified to do that. Mike Greenberg had no business in any way, shape, or form being in a NFL play-by-play role. It's disgraceful. And here we are again this year, and I think this is just an absolute travesty. That they, and I'm talking about they, that ESPN, all right? And again, you know what? Chris Berman's pretty much retiring, and based on what has happened to him in his personal life with the tragic accident that took his wife of some nearly 40 years, you know what? I heard that he's going to be playing golf over in Ireland the first week of the NFL season. And you know what I say? Good for him.
No doubt.
I had a chance to work with Chris Berman for a brief period of time. And he was always gracious. He was always very nice. I've heard a lot of bad stories about Chris with coworkers, but I never experienced that. He was always very, very good. But anyway, the reason why I wanted to bring this up is Beth Mowins and Rex Ryan are announcing the second NFL game. And it's disgraceful. Beth Mowins and Rex Ryan have no business announcing Monday Night Football. They just don't. And again, it's ESPN. Once again, don't give a damn what anyone thinks. Yeah, they don't care about their audience. If they cared about their audience, they would have never had Chris Berman and Trent Dilfer in the booth, you know, ruining the games year after year after year. They would have never had Mike Greenberg doing NFL play-by-play, something he's not capable of. They would not take, you know, Beth Mowins and Rex Ryan and put them in Monday Night Football. It's just, it drives me crazy. I mean, you're going to tell me that at ESPN, you don't have other announcers that are more worthy and deserving of Monday Night Football than Beth Mowins and Rex Ryan? It's absurd. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Do you think some of these times, Grant, what they're trying to do is see if there's a synergy, if something sparks in somebody just as good at it and see if it works from that standpoint?
If you want to see if it works, have them do a college game. You know, if you really want to see if it works, then have them do a college game.
If they went out there and it just was awesome, would you be okay with that?
No, I really wouldn't be okay with that, because I think it's a shame that in a network like ESPN, where they have so many other deserving
announcers.
Paid their dues. Exactly. So, okay. No, I would not be okay with it. And I'm not sitting here saying that they're going to be awful.
Right.
You have not heard me say that.
Because we haven't heard them before.
I haven't heard them before. But I did know for a fact that Chris Berman and Trent Dilfer were going to be awful. And I told everyone before they got into the booth that they would be awful. And they were awful.
Why'd you say they were awful?
Because
like,
Chris Berman's not capable of doing play-by-play. He's a studio guy.
Right.
He's not. He
he's
can't
really
do
good
play-by-play.
At that.
Yes, he is. That's his forte. He became a legend because of his studio work.
No doubt.
But his play-by-play is embarrassing. His baseball announcing is embarrassing. His football play-by-play is beyond embarrassing. He's just that's not what he can do. That's not his expertise. His expertise is being in the studio as a studio host.
Yeah.
Same with Trent Dilfer. Trent Dilfer was awful on the game. I mean, so bad that there were thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of tweets during the course of the game, telling Trent to keep it down and stop yelling on every single play and to shut up. And it was awful. It was embarrassing. But the network doesn't care. It's like, you know what? At what point are you going to start catering to your audience? It's just disgraceful. I mean, some of the decisions that they make, you know, such as the Robert Lee, taking him off the game at Charlottesville because his name is Robert Lee. We're talking about an Asian American being replaced from a game in Charlottesville because of his name. Are you freaking kidding me or what? It's embarrassing. It's absolutely embarrassing.
Lack of knowledge, timing?
Trent Dilfer?
Yeah.
No, he's got great knowledge. Trent's a very, very knowledgeable
football
guy.
I'm like,
well, you know, you got to have a lot more than knowledge to be in the broadcast booth. You got to be good at what you do.
Yeah.
He was terrible, awful.
Wow.
I mean, I say this in all sincerity. I like Trent Dilfer a lot. If Trent was in here right now, I would look him in the eye and tell him the same thing. I talk to Trent up in Lake Tahoe every year. I love Trent. He's a great guy. I've always admired him as a person and as the knowledge of football, but it did not translate onto the TV screen when it came to being a television analyst.
You know, that's interesting, Grant, because a lot of the times you look at players and can you coach? Can you do certain things? And, you know, a lot of the great ones having the ability, you look at Magic or Michael or different guys, do you have the ability to transfer that information? And you make a valuable point. Just because you're very knowledgeable about it, it might not come off that way.
I don't want to say it before we get there because I just think, you know, again, it's just it's unbelievable to me. It really is. It's absolutely unbelievable. 339-1140 is the local number. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Don't forget, if you're a Vikings fan, we'll preview the Minnesota Vikings coming up at 4 o'clock with Paul Allen. Again, if you're just joining us, Ezekiel Elliott's suspension appeal will move into day 2. It's going to resume tomorrow, and we'll see. You know, he's appealing a 6-game suspension. He has not been charged. He has not been arrested. He has denied the allegations. And if his full suspension is upheld on appeal, then he would be banned from taking part in any team activities starting on September 2nd.
Tell me this, Grant. If you're not charged and you're not suspended, would you have liked to see them do way more research off the field before they make a judgment? And that might have affected this year differently. Maybe midway through the year they come up with
when you
something.
You mean do more research? Who does more research?
The NFL, because they're the people who are judging.
The NFL, right? Based on the report that I read, if you read their report, it seems like that their research went to an exhaustive measure. It seemed like their research covered an incredible span of interviews. It seemed to me, and again, I'm not in the court of law. I'm not an attorney. I'm not an arbiter or mediator. I'm just telling you, based on reading their report, it seems to me that their research was very extensive.
So that speaks to, we kind of went over this yesterday, the fact that there's a difference in the law and the shield of the NFL. In the law, they might not be able to prosecute. It might not have enough.
Same thing in the pro sports, and same thing in the NBA, too.
Yes. So exactly. So now when you look at him not representing the shield of the NFL properly, they can judge him and penalize him outside of the law.
Yes, meaning, they can do whatever they want.
Yes. And that's kind of where it seems it's
at. But they also go over all of that in collective bargaining.
Right.
And, you know, Darren Collison was suspended for 8 games last year for a misdemeanor, where other players have had a misdemeanor and they're suspended for 1 game. So why is that? I mean, so my point is, it's not just the NFL, okay? It's other sports as well.
So when you look at, like, Burfict, he gets 5 games for that hit.
Correct.
There's 6 games for domestic violence. In your eyes, is that kind of a miscarriage there of justice
in my opinion,
the NFL looks at it?
In my opinion, if, and again, I want you to understand what I'm saying here. I always use the word if.
Yeah.
In my opinion, if the allegations that the NFL came out with in their report end up being true, in my opinion, Ezekiel Elliott is getting off too easily with a 6-game suspension.
Right.
Like, he's getting off scot-free if those allegations that are reported by the NFL are accurate. Now, in all fairness, Elliott has said that the allegations are false.
This is where it's interesting, Grant, because the justice system in the NFL, because the NFL is saying in all intents and purposes that what has been said is true. That's ultimately what they're saying. There is something there, and the legal system is saying it's not enough for us to grab a hold of and actually penalize him with jail time. And that dynamic there, I think, is going to be – I don't know how you get over that. Obviously,
I don't either. The
NFL can do what they want.
I don't either. I don't know how you get over that. I really don't either. I do know that Tom Brady was suspended for 4 games.
Right.
And the reality is – they never really found out 100%.
Right.
And he was suspended for 4 games.
And that goes to whatever Article 4626 or whatever it is that the NFL and Goodell has the right pretty much to do whatever it is that he wants.
And do I feel that it's right? Not necessarily. No, I don't. But that's the system that was bargained.
You agreed.
So then don't sign and don't ratify the CBA if that's not something you agree to.
Right. And to going forward, and this has been said, we're talking about it 4 years in the future, but a lot of this stuff, you're going to need a third party in all these things, because Goodell is for the owners. And if he is going to be the one that's judging, you got to know that he's going to judge on the side of the owners every time.
And there is a third party right now, and it's Harold Henderson. He's the one that is going to rule on this 6-game suspension and the appeal, and it will be his decision.
Who hires Harold Henderson?
I believe the NFL hired him, but again, if you look at his recent track record, he's actually cited. His judgments have benefited the players.
Yeah, but still, isn't
okay. But my point
is,
ask Adrian Peterson. Go ask, you know, Greg Hardy. Go ask.
Judged again.
I mean, my point is,
or four.
His track record shows that he's been actually, you know, not only fair, but from a player's perspective, has been on the side of the players.
Can't argue with that.
All right, we'll be right back. This is Sports 1140. All right, we are back with you here on Sports 1140, KHTK. And when we were at the Super Bowl last year, I had a great time meeting Willie Colon of SNY, former offensive guard and Super Bowl champ when he was with the Pittsburgh Steelers, now with SNY, joining us here to talk some NFL football. Willie, it's good to catch up with you again. It's Grant Napier and Doug Christie. How are you?
Hey, guys. How's everything?
We're doing good. Willie, you got a way to get Aaron Judge to stop striking out so much? Can you help me there?
Oh, man. You know, he's going through it. It's tough. You know, I honestly think he's just fatigued. I don't think he is. I mean, if you talk about the Yankees, it was Gary Sanchez, Bird, and him. And he was kind of the, if you will, the bastard child of the group. And he just kind of shot out of nowhere. So I think it was good that Girardi kind of set him down to kind of regroup and kind of take the pressure off himself. You know, they're playing Cleveland tonight. And, you know, he'll sit, and hopefully when they play the Red Sox coming up in 3 days, you know, he'll be ready to go.
So, Doug, let me share a little conversation that Willie and I had when I met Willie and I found out he was from the Bronx. You know what I'm saying? And,
okay.
and he went to Hofstra, and I used to play lacrosse at Hofstra all the time. So all we did was talk about stuff like that. So if, Doug,
I was just figuring, Willie, he threw out Yankees right off the bat. Goodness gracious, hey. Napier.
Hey, Willie, I'll tell you one thing. It's a good time to be a quarterback, isn't it?
I mean, what Stafford did, listen, they gave him 135, if that's correct. I mean, I can't imagine what Matt Ryan and Aaron Rodgers' contract is going to look like.
Oh, Jesus. Boy.
I mean, he set the bar. It is good. I mean, I want everybody to get paid. And, you know, obviously I want more love on the offensive line side. But, you know, it's time that, you know, guys who mean a lot to their franchise and their organization – get paid as such.
You know, when you saw Stafford, obviously this guy's got incredible arm talent. Grant and I were just talking about Cousins, and you know, is he on that level? But he's obviously getting paid on that level. How
right.
How do you when you go and you look at your quarterback and he is Aaron Rodgers, these type of guys? What do you think that number is going to go to now, Willie?
Well, I don't know. I think it's tough to, you know, it's hard because you look at what Brady means for not only the Patriots to the league. You know, he should ultimately be the number one highest paid guy in football, period. But, you know, it's such a quarterback-driven league. The number's only going to go up because it's hard. You think about how hard is it for a GM, for him to kind of draft a franchise quarterback, and possibly two. I mean, That's equivalent of hitting a bullseye two times in a row, and that's hard in the NFL. You know, there's so many great talent, so much good talent that comes out. It takes more to produce a quarterback right at this level to let alone find a guy who's going to flat out carry you to a Super Bowl. So the value of what they can make or how you market these guys and where they're at, you know, it's tough. I don't know how. I can only see the number keep going up as long as there's good quarterbacks that can carry a franchise.
We're talking with Willie Colon, NFL football. You know, Willie, it's puzzling to me when I look at good teams, and yet I look at what they have done to their offensive line in the offseason or lack thereof. And it just seems to me, Willie, teams that have a lot of talent but don't have a good offensive line, they're only going to go so far. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's a product of where the game is at now. You know, a lot of these offensive linemen are coming from gimmick systems. They're not really developed. You know, I came from Hofstra where I ran a run and shoot. It was more of a West Coast style, and I played in a two-point stance. I didn't really get in a three-point stance until I was literally in Pittsburgh, and I was forced into a three-point stance. So the mechanics and development of offensive linemen coming out of college, there's a gap, there's a bridge. So a lot of these teams, if they're not getting a guy in the first or second round, they're getting a guy they have to develop from the ground up. So it's the maturation period and the time it takes to kind of find a guy or find a group of guys that can really play together and play well, not only from a schematic standpoint, but from a mechanic standpoint, it takes time. So that's why you see the great offensive line like Dallas and Oakland and Pittsburgh, because they develop the guys. They don't give up on a guy if he's not where he needs to be in year three. They work with him. They grind out his mechanics. They kind of fine-tune him. And then by four or five, he's exactly what they need. And hopefully the team around him and the pieces around him, either the guy on the offensive line, is where it needs to be. You talk about here in New York, everybody's jumping on Ereck Flowers' back. You know, he's only a third-year guy. He's young, and he has issues. But, you know, he needs more time to develop. I honestly feel he should be at the right tackle position. They're playing him at the left tackle position. I think he's just too athletic right now to sit him down. So you got to make room for him on your offensive line. But those are different issues different offensive line coaches and teams are going through. You know, if I can't put a guy right here, where can I put him? How can I fit him in? But it's all about development. If you don't develop these young guys and give them an honest shot to kind of get through it, I mean, the best teacher is experience. And if you don't put guys out there and develop them, you know, you're just going to have a cycle of one and dones.
What is it about Ereck Flowers that you look at him and you see the deficiencies at left tackle, and yet you and others that have played the position think that he would be much better on the right side? What is it about him that you say that?
Because he's athletic. When you play the left side, you talk about Joe Thomas, Tyron Smith. I even throw old man Donald Penn in there. They're mechanics. You know, they're technicians at what they do. They understand leverage. They understand positioning. They understand hand striking. Ereck Flowers just doesn't understand that at times. He gets himself in a lot of trouble just from a technique standpoint. You put him on the right side, you can run the ball more to the side. He's athletic. He has range. He can run. You can do a lot off his side, but to depend on him to be Eli's blind side, you're only going to have the issues you had last year. I mean, he hasn't made the leap this year as far as like, hey, you know, we can depend on him. There's still question marks around him, but you can help this guy by putting him on the right side, giving him chip help from the running back, having a tight end line up next to him so you can further stretch the outside linebacker. So those are things they can mask. But overall, he just needs time. And he's one, and as a ball player, you know, in this market, New York market is hard. I mean, every day he's in the paper about something. And there's five guys up there who, you know, Bobby Hart struggling at right tackle. You know, John Jerry has been a revolving door. They've thrown Brent Jones in there. They've thrown DJ Fluker in there. So there's guys all – there's holes on that offensive line. They just love – I don't say they love, but he kind of gets ostracized, Ereck Flowers, as far as being the weak point of the offensive line. But there's a couple other guys who fall in that who fall in that department. But overall, when you look at the Giants line as a whole, this is a group that's going to hold this team back unless they find a groove and build the chemistry. Because Eli Window is small. OBJ's due for a contract. Brandon Marshall is the big red zone threat, but he's getting up there in age. They don't have a running back court. The defense is paid to be like a number one defense, but they got to produce. So it's a lot the Giants are going through. Hopefully they can get it done, but Eric Flowers is not the only problem. There's different holes on that offensive line.
You know, Willie, that's interesting when you talk left side to right side. Obviously, when you say right side, you're saying the running back can help chip block and those type of things. Then Donald Penn, who you brought up, who just got back to camp, looking forward to sign his contract as a technician.
Yep.
Being out that long, is it easier for him to come back because he is so technically solid, or will he have some problems as he tries to get into shape and get into form?
Well, I think the only problem he will have is probably trying to get into shape, you know, but that'll come over time. Donald Penn has been in the game a long time. It's pretty much like riding a bike for him.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in the game. He knows what to do. He knows what to expect. He's a guy you can lean on and say, hey, if we got to slide our offensive line to the right, keep him at left, he can hold his own. I mean, some of the great matchups he's been a part of is when DeMarcus Ware was in his prime, and it was him and D. Ware. You talk about, you know, Donald Penn has been playing against some big-time talent, Dwight Freeney, on and on. Guys, when they were in their prime, were hellraisers, and Donald Penn has held his own and has been to Pro Bowl. So I wouldn't worry about Donald Penn. I would just worry about where his head's at as far as getting the deal done or trying to get his money. But I want to see him just stay healthy and continue on having a great career.
A lot of talk, obviously, what's going to happen with Elliott's appeal, which is going to go into day two. If his appeal is upheld, if he misses six games to start the season, in your opinion, the impact for the Dallas Cowboys will be what?
Well, I don't see them winning the division without him. And I'll just put that plain and simple. He's the X factor. He's one of those bumpers that allows Dak Prescott to be that guy. And we got to know, you know, they're going to appeal this. And I think if you look at the deflate game, how Tom Brady approached it, they kind of set the blueprint of how to combat the NFL as far as going to the courts and getting an injunction, because that would allow him to stay on the field while the appeal's going on. So it's an interesting take of what's going on, but I think Zeke at this point is suspended, right? He has to look at himself as a young man who can be a running back, who can follow the feet of Emmitt Smith and really be a great brand for the Dallas Cowboys. And he has to kind of do some self soul searching, if you will, because at this point, he wore the crop top at draft and on. He's always kind of been in the headlines. If sometimes, you know, we talked about Aaron Judge taking a seat and kind of regrouping. He may need to take this time and really understand he's in a very unique position, this team. The Dallas Cowboys are a Super Bowl contender, and he needs to kind of regroup and really figure out what's most important to him. And sometimes a suspension like this can help him and help the people around him and put, you know, leaders or powers to be to kind of protect this kid. Because by all accounts, I hear good things about him, but sometimes he has these little hiccups, and it's not only costing him, but it's costing the team.
You mentioned the Cowboys without him, probably without Ezekiel, it probably won't win that division. Obviously, you just mentioned the Giants. Do you put them into that spot? Seeing obviously the Redskins don't look like too much of a threat, and the Eagles being young with Carson Wentz. How do you look at the Giants and the Cowboys matchup if Zeke isn't in there?
Well, right now the Giants are trying to figure out how can they keep OBJ on the field. He's coming off an ankle, so how can they get him back and ready to roll? I don't know if I'll put it like this. If OBJ is not there for the opener against the Dallas Cowboys,
mm-hmm.
then I'm more worried about the ankle. I think there's more to it than he's putting on. But if he is out there, then you guys say that are going to be contenders. They're going to win it, because without Zeke, without, you know, the powers to be on that Dallas Cowboys really playing at a high level, the Giants are stacked. They're ready to win now. I mean, the defense is flat out. Landon Collins, I don't know if you've seen this kid play, but he's a monster now. He looks like the reincarnation of Ronnie Lott to me. I mean, the kid flat out has it. So it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be – it comes down to the Giants. I think it's for the Giants to lose. But I wouldn't be surprised if Zeke is out there, you know, Dallas really make a hard charge at it.
You know, I was telling Doug this the other day. I think Landon Collins already in his short career has developed into one of the very best defensive players in football. I mean in the whole league. Don't you agree?
Yes. No, he's special. If you watch him, the way he closes on the ball and his understanding of the game, you can tell he's playing at another level. There's a comfort level in which he attacks the football and his defender, his opponent. And I tell you one thing, I watched him. He played the Giants-Jets preseason game. if you look at that defense, if you didn't know anything about the New York Giants, you watch him.
Yep.
They got something. They got a superstar in there. He sticks right out on film. There's no doubt about it.
Willie, this is enough New York Giants love. Just tell me something positive about my Seahawks, and we'll let you go.
The Seahawks are going to be good. You know, this is a team that, you know, when you talked about the offseason, there was so much talk about a toxic locker room. Now, I played with the Pittsburgh Steelers. If anybody put a microscope in our locker room,
right,
we were probably the most insane human beings on the world, and we were all alpha males. But when it came down to football, that's all we cared about, and that's what's going on in Seahawks in Seattle. Don't mind the nonsense. Don't mind all the talk. When Sunday rolls around, that ball rolls on the field, the Seahawks will be ready. Now, they're going to have to keep Russell. They're going to have to keep Russell Wilson healthy. They have an offensive line that's probably a BC offensive line.
Right.
But that's why I didn't understand. You had an opportunity to sign Kaepernick, yeah, who could have been a great bridge.
Agreed.
For Russell, and Casey went down, and they let him walk out the door. So,
yeah,
besides that, I see the Seahawks being winning that division. But you got to watch out for the Arizona Cardinals. They'll be ready to roll.
Hey, Willie, great stuff.
Yes,
good catching,
sir,
up with you again. Thank you so much.
You guys be strong out there.
Appreciate you.
Yep, take care. All right, Willie Colon, and we'll take the break right here and come back with your phone calls next. All right, our thanks to Willie Colon talking a little NFL football.
Willie was awesome, man.
Yeah, Willie's good, huh?
Yes.
I had a great time meeting him in Houston during Super Bowl week. He was great.
Yes, sir. I dig it. Very knowledgeable. And you got that last little bit in there. You heard that, right, Napes?
I did. I know. Yes, okay. Absolutely.
Just want to make sure.
So, anyway, if you want to call the show, 339-1140, 339-1140, and 800-920-1140. We'll be previewing the NFC North with Paul Arnold of the Minnesota Vikings. He'll be our next guest coming up at 4 o'clock. And he is a dandy.
It sounded like it, that's for sure. Brett Favre throwing the interception. Listening to him, Grant, yeah, he's probably seen quite a bit of stuff, doing Vikings games.
Yep.
Well, I guess we'll have to ask him. Might that be the biggest call, that Favre call?
I'm not sure. I mean, he's done the Vikings for a long time.
For a long
so
time.
It's tough to say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a good question. I don't know, you know. And again, you look at the NFC North, I still think Green Bay is the class of that division. And I think Detroit's right there with them. I really do.
Really?
Yeah, I do. Well, they were last year.
Yeah, I mean, but wouldn't you say the Packers had a kind of a down year, even though they got it rolling at the for I don't know, 5 weeks, maybe 6 weeks, we were saying what is going on with Aaron Rodgers, all this stuff off the field with his family, all these different things, and all of a sudden he started huffing the football and throwing it down the field, and they got their thing going. That'll be interesting because I don't know that the Lions make that big a jump. Now, they paid their quarterback like they made that big a jump. So,
well, they don't have to be that big of a jump. I mean, when you look at what they were in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, but you think they're neck and neck, or maybe not neck and neck, but they're right there with Green Bay?
I think they're pretty similar, yeah. Really do.
Okay.
Yep.
That's a wait and see. I mean, you don't know what you're going to get, obviously, from the Vikings. We're going to find out when we chat. But the Bears, obviously, nothing. They may be starting Mitch Trubisky.
The Bears are terrible.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, you know what? Mitch Trubisky actually has impressed me a little bit. I know it's preseason, but watching what he does and the way that he moves and the throws that he makes, and he has some wheels on him, I'm like, okay, I can see the package. Now, can you do it in the regular season and deliver? That's a total another thing. But I could understand how the Bears could look at him and say, you know what? We like that guy.
Let me repeat. The Bears are terrible.
Yeah, I heard that part. I just talked about one particular player.
Yeah.
That's all.
I want to see him play in a regular season
game. I do, too. I agree with you. When the lights are on and the whole deal.
And again, you know, he's in his first year, and I'm not expecting him to be, you know, an all-pro this year, okay? But I'd like to see him get some work and see how he looks.
Do you think he gets some minutes out there?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, I would think so, too. Especially now, if he would have went into the preseason and just absolutely legged an egg, then okay. But he went out and he did some good things. But you're right. Can you do that during the regular season? And that is going to be the telltale sign for him as they begin, hopefully, for the Bears fans to start to maybe trend upwards a little bit. Goodness.
You know, I think that what happened last year with Carson Wentz and Dak Prescott
mm-hmm.
kind of, you know, gives fans and teams more hope when you have a player like Trubisky or Deshaun Kizer, or I can go on and on, you know, because we just saw it last year with two guys that no one ever thought were going to be on the field.
That is a great point, because a lot of fans, they want, you know, NBA same way. You drafted this guy in the first round. I want him to play now. Some guys aren't ready. Speak to what you've seen from Carson Wentz as opposed to Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott, I think that what everyone wants to see is this predicated solely on Zeke in that offensive line as opposed to Carson Wentz. And what's the Eagles' offensive line look like compared to Dallas's, in your opinion? Are they okay? I mean, Dallas, I think, is probably top shelf first class. Where would you rank that Philadelphia offensive line comparably?
It's good. It's not as good as Dallas's, but I think their offensive line is good.
Yeah, so that speaks to his talent as well, which then...
But they didn't have a running game like Dallas.
Right, and those are the things that, you know, for a young quarterback to be able to just, you know, take a couple of steps back and hand the ball off to somebody else, and he's getting you five, six yards on first down, it takes the pressure off to make little dink and dunk passes that are going to get you a first down.
All right, 3-3-9. 1140, 339, 1140, 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. You know, to me, Philadelphia is, at best, in my opinion, an 8-win team.
Okay. So that puts them probably, would you say that for the Redskins as well?
Probably 500, both teams.
Okay. So, yeah, which speaks to the fact that the Giants and the Cowboys are the class of the NFC East. And it's going, oddly enough, Grant, two injuries are kind of, you know, listening to Willie talk about it. You got Odell Beckham, you got Ezekiel Elliott. If either one of those guys are out, it kind of not spells disaster, but which team is going to be able to stand the test of time when those guys are out? In your mind, the Giants have a better defense, though, correct?
The Giants have the best defense in the division.
Yeah.
Clearly. I think the Giants have one of the top two or three defenses in football.
So with that being said, that should in and of itself put them right at the top, if not overtake the Dallas Cowboys. And you've owned them.
Yeah, we'll see. A lot has to do with Ezekiel Elliott. And as Willie Colon said, you know, will Odell Beckham be on the field for week one? And if he's not, then that tells me it's more than an ankle sprain. He's spot on.
Yeah, I wouldn't. If there's any thought that, especially with now Sterling Shepard going down, if there's any thought, you got to shut him down and take your lumps and bruises early.
Absolutely.
So that he's healthy and ready to go.
All right. We will come back. We'll talk with the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen. That's next here on Sports 1140 KHDK.